So one of the more clicked on stories in the Caribbean, news stories, an awesome journalist we're blessed to have here with the K-Man Compass, James Whitaker, is telling a story, and it's called the Prison Papers. It was on the front page of last week's paper in the continuing investigative reporting. And it starts off as a great way to hook you into the story. And at the beginning, it almost sounds like a movie script or something you're going to see out of a John Grisham book. And it says, a boat arriving like late at night with Jamaican hitmen armed with high-powered rifles intent on breaking out two prisoners from Northwood. And then it goes on to tell the story. James, how much of that was proposed to be true? And in the affidavits from the governor, said if they let it be, that would have happened. How much of that is true?
Well, that's exactly what the court is supposed to be trying to decide, and it's become very complicated. But that was those quotes were from an affidavit. They're sort of summarized from an affidavit, which is testimony from Governor Martin Roper to the court, saying that this is what could have happened. This is the worst case scenario that he was painting. This is what could happen if we don't get these two guys, Justin Ramoon and Osborne Douglas, out of the Cayman Islands and into a high security facility in the UK. There were also allegations that they were running gangs from prison. They were bringing in hitmen from Jamaica, as it says there. They were all organizing drug activity. Now, this was all in the governor's affidavits, in affidavits from his staff, affidavits from the police, affidavits from prison leaders, but there was no supporting evidence for any of it, which we can talk about in a minute.
So it was all hearsay, is what the families of these two inmates are claiming, and they said that they never had this big plan, and this is something that is in their imagination somewhat. First of all, tell us about these two prisoners here at Northwood, or they were at Northwood. What were they charged with, and what was how long were they sentenced to?
Well, they were involved in a murder in 2015. They shot a 20-year-old man, Jason Powery, outside the Globe bar. I'm not sure it exists anymore, but you know the Globe bar there in the back of Central Georgetown, Martin Drive. Mm-hmm. So they were both convicted of a joint enterprise murder and sentenced to life, 33 years for one, 34 years for the other, before parole. So, you know, let's not make any mistakes about it. They're not choir boys, but they got their life sentences in Northwood Prison for that. So this extra case is around whether they continued their criminality from prison, and whether it was right, whether the legal process was correct to transfer them to London. Initially to London. I think they're in Durham now. They may have been moved even since then.
Okay, so when they got notified, what they're saying is, per your article and your great reporting in the K-Man Compass, and you can check out this article at kmancompass.com, per your reporting is that they weren't told. They were just, one morning, they got some guards walked in and said, you're leaving, and sent them there without explanation, without what they say due process, without being able to explain their side. Next thing you know, they're waking up in a cell in England. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and I think that's acknowledged on both sides that that's what happened. They were taken from their cells, put on the BA flight the same day, and whether it was the next night or the night after, they were in London's Belmarsh prison, which is one of the most secure prisons in the UK. That's exactly how it happened.
So now what are they saying? You know, we heard from their family as far as, one of them or both of them, I think, have kids, one of which has a smaller child that now doesn't even really recognize him. And he says, so getting visits, if you're in the UK high security prison, you're not going to be able to get the weekly visits like you would at Northwood. And, it's a time difference. That's a little difficult, too.
Yeah, so they both have young children, and children that lived with them, I believe, or at least in one case, children that lived with them prior to the offence. obviously, you know, the children weren't living with them after they were sentenced. They were in Northwood, but they were seeing, you know, at least according to their claims, according to the record, they were seeing their kids, like, you know, every week. They were getting regular phone calls after school, that kind of thing. And obviously that doesn't happen anymore. They won't have seen their children. They haven't seen their children since the 5 years that they've been over there. Mm. There was one family visit that's been paid for by the government here, where six members of the family went over to see them. I don't know which six. I don't think any of the children were involved. That's a, you know, it's a long trip, and perhaps families didn't want to, you know, use their children's 2 weeks holiday for a lengthy prison trip, if you know what I mean.
Hey, so James, you have next on your article, I saw the continued writing on it, where how easy is it, you talked to some people about breaking out someone, if you really were intent on breaking someone out of Northwood Prison. I've never been out there. I'm sure you have with your reporting. How does it, I mean, does it appear like it's a prison that someone, if they really put a plan together, would be able to escape from Northwood? What do you think?
Well, you know what? I mean, I've been there, yeah, of course, but I've not been in a cell. I don't know. I mean, I imagine, well, we know that people have broken out from there, so that tells you that it's possible. There's a guy called Steve Manderson that's broken out, I think, six times.
Wow.
Last one being, I think, 2013 or 2014. That was the last time I can recall. Maybe people will correct me, but that's the last time I can recall an escape where three people escaped, including Steve Manderson. They were on the run for just a month or two. I mean, not far you can go in Cayman.
How do you find this case shaken out when it's all said and done? In your personal opinion, with your reporting, are these guys going to be able to get back to the Cayman Islands and be back to Northwood, or do you think that this is a done deal?
Well, the Court of Appeal actually just issued a new ruling which says that they can't. So one of the things that we didn't speak about, Doug, is that the evidence, I think I made the point that it's not there in the court files, right? But that doesn't mean it's not there. The governor says he's got binders full of classified intelligence in his office. Mm. Or, no, I wouldn't say that's where it is, but he's got, under his jurisdiction, binders of classified intelligence that prove everything that he is saying in these affidavits. Mm. And again, when we say the governor, you know, he's speaking on advice, yeah. Not him personally.
Yeah.
So what the court decided now is that a judge can see that. A judge can see that. So up until now, the men haven't been allowed to see that, their lawyers haven't been allowed to see that, and the judge assessing whether they can come home or not hasn't been allowed.
All right, so
that.
It does appear that he's going to get his day in court, James, or those guys are going to get their day in court, it appears. Either that or the judge is going to say, wait, this tough three-ring binder full of stuff, it's enough to keep you guys over here. See you later, bye.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, although they may appeal that because they want an open court hearing, or they said that they believe these allegations, most of them are absurd, that this is nothing that was on their radar, that, you know, it could just as easily be someone who doesn't like and made something up and fed it to the prison authorities, and it's gone too far, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't had that kind of judicial scrutiny. So yeah, we don't know what will happen, but a judge is going to get to look at it, even though their lawyers and themselves will not get to be involved in that hearing. So that's slightly controversial still, but I think it's seen as a sort of compromise by which you at least get to try this case on the evidence that the governor made the decision, as opposed to, this is why it's rumbled on for so long. The court's sort of been wondering how to deal with this case without really seeing the evidence.
Yeah, it's wild in the story. Man, I'm telling you what, it hooks you in right off the bat. That's why it's one of the most clicked on stories in the Caribbean, we could see, and it's good reporting. As usual, you're the best in the business, James. I really appreciate you jumping on our show and telling us what's up. And if you can if there's any breaking details or whatever, if you can ping me or whatever, maybe I can have you on for like 30 seconds just to give our listeners an update. If maybe a judge does make a decision either way, it is just a fascinating case in the story. It reads out like something out of Central Casting. I'm not kidding you. Good work, James.
Yeah, thanks, man. And just one point that I quickly wanted to make, because this is a reaction that a lot of readers have had, and we're aware of this, you know, the victim's family, you know, they don't have any rights to see him. And it's kind of an obvious point, but you know, these guys are convicted murderers, and a lot of people feel almost zero sympathy for them.
Fair.
But yeah, there's two elements to this, right? There's
right.
the crime that they committed, and there's 18 or 20 other murderers in Northwood.
Fair.
And there's... then there's the crimes that they're alleged to have committed since they went to Northwood, which is kind of a different
matter. And there's that humanitarian side. I mean, you can sympathize and grieve for the victims' families and the people that are suffering still to this day with that pain of losing a family member here and getting shot and killed in 2015. And then you can also, I guess you can feel with the family here, especially the kids, that they just want to go and even if it's behind a glass or on a phone or whatever, and see daddy over at Northwood and be able to drive and take that 10-minute drive to do it. I mean, that's something that's kind of important to them too as well. Boy, it's going to be interesting when this shakes out. James, you're awesome. Thank you, brother.